Hi, I'm Domenico Stragliotto, a Solution Architect at Zextras.
Hi, I'm Davide Baldo, Solution Architect at Zextras.
The product we have built, Carbonia Community Edition, is an open source email and collaboration software aimed at companies and enterprises that need a private and secure workspace. Before talking about how we built Carbonia, I must do an introduction about why we had to build it the way we did and the challenges we faced along the road. The driving forces of our decisions are our customers and the requirements and limitations they impose on us. There is a lot of need for data protection and data sovereignty because several organizations manage sensitive data and want total control over it. This translates into two main strong points to keep in mind. They want to have total control and liberty of choice on where the data is stored, and said data must not go through public networks or servers. Since our customer base is really varied and its size scales from hundreds of users up to millions, we had to develop a solution that can work and scale with very different installations. For this reason, we wanted to build a private product. One that customers can work with without having to rely on outside sources. And we decided to do this in a world that is moving every day more towards the software as a service model, where data is in the cloud and decentralized. But that is not an acceptable scenario for all use cases, and those are the cases we had to cover. Public sector, military, internet service providers are just some of the scenarios that impose those strict requirements, in which products must remain contained inside a customer network, be it self-hosted or on a private cloud. The big problem is that even if it's self-hosted, they want the same level of availability, security, and monitoring that they could have found on a managed cloud solution. With all those limitations, we tried to go for a solution that is strong and well-known, that would allow us to start on a solid ground to build on top of. We analyzed the Kubernetes route, but we quickly saw it was not a way that we could use. Our customers are using varied virtualization systems or private cloud services that don't blend well together. Building a solution that could work on all of them proved to give too much problems. We quickly understood that we must give companies freedom on how they want to deploy the product. Since we are not managing their infrastructure, we must create puzzle pieces that can be installed on the company's one and that can communicate between each other without needing to rely on a specific infrastructure. This is even more true given that we must support installations that go from one server to hundreds without knowing their topology. After seeing all that, we understood that we could no more go on with a single monolith if we had to satisfy all these needs. We needed to switch to a different approach, and that posed yet another challenge on how to do that. Since a lot of the tooling available right now in the market is tuned toward SaaS development, this makes it a lot harder for us to find the right ones, but we found a way. Davide will talk now about how we change our architecture to manage that.
Thank you, Domenico. On the old architecture, we were using stateful multi-server pattern. This offered nice performance peaks, but suffered downtime whenever one of the servers was unavailable, since all the data on it was unreachable. Also, if a request had to return data which was on multiple servers, the backend had to find where it was collected and merge it, summing up latency and possible failures. In order to move away from such a situation, we had to remove the state from the instance and centralize it. We relied on Postgre for most use cases, OpenAPI for new schema definition and code generation, and some caching with Redis. We planned a possible migration for every single piece of software we had, creating over 20 new components. To extrapolate services from the old architecture, we devised a pattern. We started from the most user-oriented services and we enumerated every dependency. For each dependency, we exposed the needed data from the monolith itself, creating a new API via a new OpenAPI schema, generating the controller and then linking them to the old monolith classes, even if everything was still running on the same instance. This way, we had the API serving the data needed by the service we were removing out of the monolith. We could then modify the service, making it use the new API instead of directly accessing the monolith classes to make it totally standalone. Once the user-oriented service is fully detached from the monolith and made independent, we could then repeat the process on a dependency and move them away from the monoliths one by one. In order to split the monolith, we need a way to keep track of every service in the infrastructure. Let me frame the context a bit. We started from the most standard environment possible, CentOS or Ubuntu. You install a package from the repository. As soon as it is installed, you expect it to run out of the box. No big deal. Now take the same example, except now you want to install the package in any host of your infrastructure and expect it to be automatically coordinated with the rest of your infrastructure and start to serve a request right away without any orchestrator or added complexity. That was our goal. For our needs, we chose Consul, which is a service discover on steroids. It provides fast service registration, health checks, automatic exclusion of broken instance, dynamic configuration generation, events, key value for the system configuration, and dark coffee. Once we set up, we found out pretty soon that a complete setup was complex and time-consuming, and the required expertise was outside the field of our typical administrator. We wanted a simple, seamless installation process. What we didn't really want was to force the administrator to study every technology we were using. The only way forward was to fully automate the configuration, and so we did. We only required the bind address and a new password. With this, we managed to automate the setup with the most hardened configuration possible, paving the way for the new security model we had in mind. Now I'm going to show you how we implemented the service discover setup. So first of all, we implemented two variants of the service discover server and service discover agent. So the service